the Boulder City Podcast, dedicated to Nevada's most interesting and unique small town, the home of the Hoover Dam. The Boulder City Podcast features interviews with some of the town's movers and shakers, or just some of the most interesting people who live here. I'm Roger Gross, a lifelong journalist and resident of Boulder City, and an advocate for Nevada's most interesting small town. This week, we begin a relationship with Boulder City Social, the town's most important social media site that shares information on events, news, and history of Boulder City. To see what they offer, visit bouldercity.com. The Boulder City Podcast is brought to you by Railroad Pass Casino, Boulder City's hometown casino. This week, the Boulder City Podcast features a discussion with Tara Bertoli, the owner of the Boulder City Company Store, a new coffee shop slash souvenir store in the downtown area of Boulder City. Bertoli is a lifetime Boulder City resident who has transitioned from a scientist to an entrepreneur. Her store is a salute to Boulder City history and a labor of love for Bertoli. She explains how she came up with the idea for the store, what her goals are, how she hopes to achieve those goals, and why she feels at home as one of the city's most exciting new businesses. She spoke with me at the Boulder City Company Store in February. Tara Bertoli, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. Here we are in the back room of your new store, Boulder City Company, and I've been very impressed with what you've offered here and how you've combined a coffee shop with a merchandising experience. And so, why don't you let's start with giving us a background of your time in Boulder City and what really inspired this idea.
Okay, well, I moved here when I was 4. Mm-hmm. Turned 5, started school here. Okay. My dad was hired at the hospital here right out of medical school. Mm-hmm. And he is a family doctor, internal medicine, and he was chosen to be here because it was rural, and mm-hmm. it still is considered a rural right. community because it's an outlier mm-hmm. and with a small population
right.
that hasn't changed.
Right. It
hasn't. We moved Thank here goodness. In 70.
That's what we like.
Seven. And it's only gone up 1,500.
Right.
So.
Yeah. So you went through the whole school system here?
I did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I guess you've considered this home your whole life then. There's no other place for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Home means Nevada.
And when did you graduate high school?
In 1989.
Okay.
And then I went to UNLV and mm-hmm. got my undergrad in pre-professional biology. Science was easy. I mm-hmm. enjoyed college, but I wanted to get good grades to make my parents happy. Mm-hmm. And I always got good grades in science.
Right.
So I just stuck with science classes, basically.
Sure.
And then after that, I went back and got my master's degree at UNLV in secondary science education mm-hmm. and taught chemistry at Coronado High School.
Okay.
And then I went on to sell chemicals at Pfizer.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then I decided that staying home to raise my second child was a good idea.
Great.
And I got really bored really fast.
Yeah, that'll happen.
And it gave me a chance to think about mm-hmm. Staying close to home and raising him. Mm-hmm. And this is what I came up with.
Okay.
Because I thought this is what Boulder City needed.
Yeah, that's definitely a great idea. You know, I had thought a coffee shop would be great, but when you combine it with kind of this branded merchandise store, which I think is a great idea, so two together with one, so I think it really works well. Mm-hmm. So when did you decide on the theme of the store?
Well, I have always been a proponent of shopping local. Mm-hmm. And there's so much history here
right.
that people don't really know about. I mean, they know about Hoover Dam.
Sure.
And I want people to stop here, especially now as an adult. I'm 48. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's been a big miss. And people like to come here as a destination mm-hmm. now.
Right.
You know, especially in the 2000s. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted Boulder City to have a brand.
Right.
Not Hoover Dam.
Sure.
But Boulder City.
Yeah.
And so that was my goal.
And the fact that it was a company town, basically, in those days, and that's the kind of stores they had back then, right? I mean, there was the mm-hmm. six companies opened their own little general store for the workers and whoever was here on business.
Correct. The six companies had stores, and the federal government mm-hmm. oversaw the company stores,
right.
which is what I revived here,
right.
one mm-hmm. of them. The
right.
Boulder City Company Store. I patented, or not patented, I have the trademark mm-hmm. for Boulder City Company Store singular.
Okay.
The government wouldn't give me the plural.
Mm-hmm.
because I'm only one of the many that were here. One of them was the post office.
Right.
One of them was the mess hall. Mm-hmm. One of them was the recreation hall. Mm-hmm. And one of them was the company store that the one I have, which was the clothing. And it was like a variety store. Mm-hmm. And 25,000 items under one roof, department store kind of thing.
Right, right, exactly. And, you know, Las Vegas was a long way off in those days. And I don't think they even had department stores in Las Vegas in those days even.
No, they came here. It was the largest department store in Nevada at the time. And they didn't want the men going to Vegas and hooking up with women and gambling or drinking. They wanted the lines to stay straight on the dam.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you've got this great location downtown, too. I think it was an antique store when before you took it over.
Yes, for 20 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're sitting in this room here, and I can see the bricks that they use to build some of the original buildings here in Boulder City. What's the history of the building itself?
This building was built in 1931. Mm-hmm. It was one of the few self-employed, like I said, I'm company store, but there was a whole set of individual business owners, and this was owned by Roy Fairbanks.
Okay.
He was the owner of the men's store, and people could come here or the company store with U.S. dollars and not company money to buy their jeans and their t-shirts and their Sunday's Best belts, shoes, anything men's store related could be bought here in this building, 4,200 square feet.
Right.
This, where we're sitting, would have been the alley.
Okay.
It wasn't added on until 1963.
Okay.
This room we're sitting in was added on in the 60s. But before then, it was just where the truck would drive up and deliveries would be made. And you can see the two back doors with the transom windows.
Right.
And there would be two back windows also. But I made an office in front of the back window that I open into the break room to talk to my kid.
So you have a kind of two storefronts. Was this always a one building, or was there two different stores there?
It's always been one building, but there have been two different storefronts on it.
Okay.
The barbershop and, well, originally the barbershop was the storage room.
Okay.
For the men's store.
Right.
And then at some point, I can't remember the date, the barbershop was included as part of the men's store with a little cutout door in the center.
So I was in here, I guess, the last Christmas season was open, because like you, I like to shop locally, at least some of my purchases. So I was going through here and looking at the things they were offering. And the store looked completely different than what it looks now. So what did you have to go through to renovate it into what you got now?
That was the exciting part. It was like a treasure hunt.
Yeah.
And I was super happy to do it. We removed two layers of drop ceilings to reveal the skylights.
Right.
There are three sets of skylights that total 36 original windows that have been untouched.
Mm. That's great.
A little bit of paint are on them, and there's spray foam from the top of the roof that cover them. I want to get them all restored at some point. Mm-hmm. So we have the three skylights, the original timbers in the ceiling that you can see. Everything's been preserved. The wood is in great shape.
Right.
We just clear coated it. Now, the walls had we had the 2x4s and drywall. Mm-hmm. In front of that was some things like pegboard that you could hang clothing on. So we removed the pegboard, then the drywall, and the 2x4s. And behind that was plaster with chicken wire in it.
Wow.
That's and we had to hire a structural engineer at that point to decide whether it was decorative or structural.
Right.
And they did all their calculations, and we were able to remove two walls worth of it. Mm-hmm. So the longest walls in the building, we were able to take off the plaster.
Sure.
And that's where you see the beautiful brick. And the brick, interestingly, was hairy when we took the plaster off. It had binders in it, is what the architect called it, and it was horse hair.
Sure.
Felt like an elephant.
Yeah.
And it was what they used to keep the bricks nice and tight.
Right.
So, but we had to sandblast the bricks on both sides, the barbershop side where you can see the junction boxes, where you can see each barber station, and then over here where I have where the film festival hung all their posters.
Right.
We sandblasted both of those walls and put 3 coats of clear on this side, 5 coats of clear in the coffee shop for health reasons.
Right.
And so now there's no crumbling or anything like that. And it's just a beautiful shadow effect. Yeah. The plaster was just in the day in the 30s, what they would do to beautify the brick.
Right.
And now we just want to reveal it. So we revealed that. And then the floors had 6 layers of tile and linoleum. One of the layers was asbestos lined that we had to do the whole asbestos trapping.
And right, sure.
It was put in with tar, which we had to get the tar out of here and grind everything down to the original Hoover Dam 1931 concrete. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, they just used what they had, and they were good at pouring concrete in the day.
Yeah,
so that's this whole building is made from, and those guys were really good at what they did.
Sure.
There aren't any cracks in our floor, which is great. And it's 2019. So.
Yeah, well, it's a beautiful floor.
2020.
You know, it's just a great job they did there.
Yeah.
And you've got obviously some sort of kitchen area for the coffee shop.
Yes, we have a prep kitchen over there for our coffee and pastries, and we have our barista bar. And I included a coffee bar for people to sit at, and I used the car ramps. Did you notice the car ramps to hold up the bar?
Yeah.
And those were found in my old garage here in Boulder City. Those are Boulder City car ramps reused. Pretty cool. I've tried to repurpose Boulder City items for the store. The doors I couldn't use. I built my dressing room out of the doors and windows that we couldn't use from this building, just to add character and preserve everything because it's all historic.
Sure, exactly. So, you know, when you start a business, I'm assuming you got some loans. You have to have business plans for that. Did you write a serious business plan?
I did. It took me about 4 months.
Yeah.
I used an app. Mm-hmm. I downloaded a really nice program. I can't. It's been a while. I'm trying to remember the name. I'd give them a plug because I was so grateful to have this business plan app.
Right.
It really saved my ass.
Mm-hmm.
It did. But I wrote one from the ground up, hoping someone would believe in it.
Yeah.
Because it is a startup business.
Sure, absolutely.
I had to come up with my own ideas. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any startup money.
Right.
I did come up with 10%, but 65% ended up being a Chase business loan, and 35% is a federal SBA loan, and Chase ended up being the bank that really believed in my story.
So you have to have a pretty serious business plan to get those kind of loans.
Did you do
any market research who's gonna come into this business?
Yes, I had to have all my footnotes and all my market research, and I spent a lot of time doing that kind of research thank God I had 2 degrees. I mean, it was and a tissue box because I got frustrated.
Yes, I can imagine.
And
yes.
A bottle of Excedrin and
I would have had a bottle of vodka next to me.
Yeah. I gave up 3 times and woke up the next morning and said, if it was easy, everybody would do it.
That's right, yeah.
But it's not easy,
right.
And I'm determined. Mm-hmm. And I know in my heart that it's what I'm supposed to be doing.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's a labor of love.
Yeah, no question about it. You can see that by walking in here. Because
it's
homey, and you know, your employees have been great so far. Everybody I've ever run into have been very friendly and helpful. So it's a great job that way. And that's that's another factor. You know, you can build the most beautiful building and have the best business. If you don't have good employees and you don't have people who are almost as dedicated as you, nobody will be ever as dedicated as you, but who believe in your vision. So how did you hire people?
Get me
first?
All teary. Well, they're all locals.
Yeah.
So I wanted people to be able to tell my story, and they can't tell it if they don't live it.
Right, yes.
So, I mean, I guess you could say that's a little bit of, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Discrimination.
Well, you were particular.
Particular. Yeah. I mean, I do have a lot of applicants that I get to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
But I prefer locals.
Right.
For many reasons.
Right.
I'm trying to support the economy up here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know? And I employ 14 Boulder City residents.
Great.
So I'm happy to say that.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Come on down to the Railroad Pass Hotel, Casino, and Travel Center. We are home to Nevada's longest-running casino, established in 1931. We give you more for your play, and there are more ways than ever to win big here. Get more comp dollars for all your play. Sign up today at our Players Junction Club and become a member of our Railroad Pass family. Upon signing up, you will receive $5 in free play and a 2-for-1 buffet coupon. Keep playing with your card to earn points that you can use for free hotel stays, free meals, free play, and even free gas at our travel center. It pays to play at the pass. We give you more.
So when you were developing this, they were building I-11 out there, and really at that point nobody knew how that was going to impact the downtown of Boulder City. I mean, mm-hmm. I've seen many cities where a bypass just destroys a downtown. Luckily it didn't happen here, but that was mm-hmm. something we didn't know then. How did you, you know, convey that in your business plan, and was that a significant explanation you had to give to the lenders?
Yes. Banks were really curious about that one. Mm-hmm. The good thing was other businesses that were selling souvenirs mm-hmm. were closing.
Right.
So that was a good thing for
right.
me.
Yeah.
Two businesses closed right as I was writing my business plan, mm-hmm. which might sound like a bad thing, but not when you end up being the only business that's going right. to gear up to sell souvenirs.
Sure. And as I recall, they didn't close because business was bad. They closed for other reasons. If I'm not mistaken, the building was being renovated or sold or something like that.
Yes. And one of them is the one that turned into a 100% Alien
right.
store.
Yes.
It was /Alien right. /Hoover Dam. Mm-hmm. And then it just went complete Alien.
Right.
And kind of like gave me the hand,
yeah,
like,
right.
here you go, you know,
sure,
you just right. do the Hoover Dam
yeah.
thing, which is kind of, you know, I have some Hoover Dam. It's in my logo.
Right.
The logo is actually the money
sure.
from the company store. It's
okay.
the dollar
mm-hmm.
On the back of the
right.
dollar coin. It's a coin
right.
is my logo. But I do have Boulder City /Hoover Dam merchandise, branded merchandise.
Right.
Souvenirs, I don't like that word because my store has more of a heart.
Yes.
Yeah. And it is the heartbeat of the community for hometown. I mean, it's really homespun here.
Right.
So, but yes, I do have takeaways mm-hmm. for people that
right.
that are tourists.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
Yeah, and I've seen, you know, some of the little chaskas. You got to have some of that because people mm-hmm. like, to take that stuff home, the souvenirs. But
right.
but I think a lot of the people here, you know, who are from Boulder City or even from Las Vegas want to have Boulder City on their chest for a T-shirt or,
mm-hmm.
or a mug or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, it's the delivery.
Yeah.
I think the way I deliver the product is something special. It's,
sure.
it's different than a Vegas souvenir shop, you know.
So what has been the reaction of the customers so far?
Whoa, I get lots of, I feel like I'm in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in Northern California.
Sure, right, yeah.
I feel, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought would work here
mm-hmm.
because it isn't a big town. It's a small town. It needs to have that vibe.
Right.
I thought we needed to take it up a notch
right.
in Boulder and join the club for, you know, just how things look nowadays.
Sure, right.
Trend.
Yeah.
I thought we had to trend up.
Trendy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no
uh-huh.
question. So do you already have some regulars who are here, you know, on a regular basis?
Oh, yeah. We yes. have our regulars. I have the old Metro Sheriff that lives here
yeah.
now. He comes
yeah.
in every Friday. I have our neighborhood regulars, the hairdresser mm-hmm. regulars.
Sure, right. Yeah.
The business owner regulars,
mm.
you know, all of us that own businesses in this district
right.
share each other's company,
right.
you know.
Well, and that's another thing I want to talk about because there are so many unique businesses downtown here. You know, got the Coffee Cup and Milo's and the Backstop right next door,
mm-hmm.
you know, all different kinds of businesses. So you're not really competing with any of them. So are you getting a lot of good reaction from your fellow business owners downtown?
I am, and we actually promote each other,
yeah.
so
mm-hmm.
it works out good.
Yeah,
I think there's room for everybody.
Sure,
because we do have 6 tour buses a day that
right.
come up from
mm-hmm.
Vegas on the Boulder City Express,
I didn't realize it was
that many, yeah. and there's another one that's going to be coming up mm-hmm. that we were just notified. Our Chamber of Commerce is great up here,
sure, right,
and they keep promoting us and just letting us know when new buses are coming. So we're going to have 7 buses coming up this mm-hmm. spring every day.
Wow.
And we tap into that as much as we can.
Sure.
And it's just a good opportunity for all of us to just keep our businesses open.
Right, great.
And I'm open every day to really make sure that I get as mm-hmm. much business as possible.
Right, right. So how did you decide, let's take the coffee shop side to begin with, how did you decide, you know, what products to offer over there? I mean, I was drooling looking at your counter the other day with all the great
yes.
pastries and things like that in there. So are you still developing that? Is it hit or miss? And, you know, people like this, and they're not crazy about that?
I knew I wanted fresh pastries daily. Mm-hmm. So I started my search with a company that I've known for 40 years,
right.
just because I've lived here longer than that. Mm-hmm. And the owner of that company, Carl's Donuts, mm-hmm. Carl's French Pastries, they have 2 different businesses under one roof.
Okay.
But they reached out also and said they've been interested in branching out to Boulder City.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like the timing was perfect.
Sure, absolutely, yeah.
And they wanted to show off some of their specialty items here. We have their quiches and their croissants.
Yeah.
And the French portion of what they create
right.
in their bakery. So they bring them up every morning.
Great.
And
so they're fresh every day. Right?
Fresh every day, yeah. Yes, they bake them all night, bring them up every morning.
Nice.
And so Carl's is hand in hand with me on the pastry side.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I know I've had requests for lunches,
mm-hmm.
some type of sandwich, you know, some. I haven't got there yet. It's evolving.
Right.
I would like to offer that to my customers.
Sure. Yeah.
I have to figure out a way to pack my kitchen tighter so I can include the offerings
mm-hmm.
And store them better.
Right. Yeah. No question.
I should have made my kitchen bigger.
Right.
yeah.
And so how about on the merchandise side? Obviously, you got the branded Boulder City Company merchandise, mm-hmm. but there are some other things in there. And, you know, you got the mugs, you got the T-shirts, mm-hmm. and all. How did you decide what you're going to offer there, and then how did you go about getting that produced for you?
Well, that's more of like a God-inspired thing, really. It really has been a process for me. I started with the colors of what built Boulder City, like
mm-hmm.
the color of cement and the color of brick,
mm-hmm.
the color of water.
Right.
And I only use 6 colors in
mm-hmm.
my store.
Great.
And I try and really stick with that palette
mm-hmm.
So people feel like the earthy.
It's almost like watching a black and white video of those days, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It just, plus I want people to feel, I want complementary colors and styles to be on people.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, you know, so, you know, when you go to Walmart and you see people wearing things that aren't flattering, I don't want people walking out of here in anything that's not flattering.
Right, right.
So I choose my colors based on mm-hmm. what I think people look good in.
Yeah, okay.
Color-wise, too. Right. And also, the Hoover Dam Museum across mm-hmm. the street here inside the hotel,
mm-hmm.
they closed their gift shop.
Oh, did they?
So we partnered.
Okay.
And I was able to hand select mm-hmm. items from their gift shop that I wanted to feature in my store.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through and figured out what would be a good fit here.
Mm-hmm.
And they're working with me on producing those items from now on to go here.
Great.
Yeah.
And you split some of the revenue with them?
We do.
Uh-huh. Okay. Great. Mm-hmm. So I think the signature item in your store is the big car.
Oh, yeah.
1930s era car. Where'd you get that, and what's it doing in here?
Well, he's a physician, but most doctors are mechanics,
right? Yeah,
so he's always been working on cars or motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the 80s, this was 85, he wanted to restore an original DeSoto.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on the hunt, and a local friend here in Boulder City, John Bletch, helped him find it
mm-hmm.
at an auction. And they went and hunted it down and towed it back to Boulder City.
Wow.
And it actually was a Nevada DeSoto.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So they brought it here, and it's been in storage since 85.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I think we've paid more for storage fees.
So he didn't buy it specifically for you, but it was just...
No, and he just never... He ended up getting into airplanes and other hobbies and things, and it sat on our, you know, in our storage unit. So this opportunity came, and I've been looking at all these historic photos and how I'm going to show and teach people of my generation all the interesting facts about Boulder City. And one of them is it was right when cars started being produced and mass produced.
Right, sure.
And the government brought in a bunch of cars for this town for all the federal workers. And you can see in the old pictures all these cars that are lining the streets that look just like this.
Yeah. And they all look alike, too.
Look alike. And we had this unrestored, awesome car from the Wild West that has a gunshot through the windshield and a Nevada plate from 1935, which is the year the dam was finished. And it just all, I said, Dad, we have to roll this in, you know. And we got it in the front door before we put the new doors and windows on. So there was a big hole in the front of the building. And we put new tires on it, and we greased the axles, and it rolled itself in here. And
it gets a lot of attention now. All
and we have it up. Yeah, I had a friend at Las Vegas Paving make a nice steel frame for it, and it's wrapped in black velvet. And it's going to stay there for a while.
I don't think you're going to have to take the wall and get it out of here everywhere.
Well, we can. That's wrapped in the price. My dad said it is for sale for $60,000.
Oh, there you go.
And that includes taking the door and window off and putting them back on.
Good.
But don't buy it. Don't buy it.
So let's talk about some of the other things. You mentioned you had an event for the Damn Short Film Festival in here. So so you have an event space, and what kind of things can you offer there?
Well, we want to do meetings, parties, and any kind of event. It can be a child's birthday. It could be a Rotary meeting. It could be a game night. It could be a funeral. I mean, it really could be anything. Last night it was a director's party. We can get a liquor license for one evening. They can bring their own liquor license. It can just be we can plant cactuses on folding tables. It could be craft night. I mean, it could be whatever anybody wants. And it also can be a potluck. I have a little kitchenette corner where people can bring their own food so they don't have to spend money on food and just bring it in. I want it to be an inexpensive place for families to be able to celebrate. So $50 an hour for the space. And they can, I can have up to 30 people in this room, and they can bring their own food and drinks if they want to, or they can use my coffee and donuts and quiche, or they can get Dillinger, or they can get Foxes or whatever, you know.
So, have you considered maybe doing live music or poetry readings or storytellings or anything like that? I mean, I've seen coffee shops in you know, like the Portlands of the world that do that kind of thing.
Yes, we've considered both. We've had some live music before it got cold out when we first opened in October or November. We had some live guitar outside on the on the front patio. And then we want to continue live music also. We are taking applications for live music. I don't want it to be crazy loud. I want it to be like where people can talk to each other and have music in the background. And then also, we did start a poetry night on Tuesdays. And that's new to me. I've never done a poetry readings. But they did blackout poetry on Tuesday.
What is that?
Where you cross out some words and, in a poem, and then you fill in your own.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, and you kind of make your own poem on the fly, you know. And then they do, then people bring their own poems, and I had a lady come, and her poem was about the company store. She made a whole poem about Boulder City Company Store and this new establishment, and include my name and everything. I want her to come back so I could videotape it, because I didn't know she was going to do it, and she didn't come back this week. But it's pretty cool, and, and it's all ages. I have a 92-year-old, and there was my son, who's 10, did a poem. And We had 16 people show up for the first night, and it's every Tuesday from 6 to 8 p.m.
Well, more people will hear about it now. So
oh, good. Yeah, it's different, let me tell you.
Yeah, sure.
There's, you could do all kinds of types of poem nights.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, I'm a big fan of The Moth on podcasts, where people come and tell stories, and that would be great. So people could just come and tell a Boulder City story or something like that, you know.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, there's so much opportunity to do something like that in a space like this, so that's great. So what would you like to see this become over the next 5 years or so, other than making you a lot of money?
Well, that in 5 years, I hope I get my own paycheck.
Okay, yes. That
so
would be nice.
It's baby steps for me,
right.
Because I do have a lot of money, not my money, but
sure, other
people that
money,
trust me,
right.
Banks and lenders,
right.
And my 10% came from other members of my family,
sure,
that we
right.
all contributed together, and we need to start paying ourselves back at some point.
Sure.
But right now we're floating.
Right.
All my employees get paid, my banks get paid, and that's about it right now. But I don't want to open another location. I know people say, this looks like it could be like a franchise thing, or but no, because I want it to stay true to Boulder City, because
sure, right.
it's all about what Boulder City is, and how could that be anywhere else?
Right.
People ask me, how come you don't go online? Why don't you start doing online first?
Right.
Like before the brick and mortar.
Right.
And my heart just said no, because it's a store. It's a company
sure.
store.
Right. Yeah.
It's a actual place
right.
that people are supposed to have an experience at.
Right.
Because this was my vision. People couldn't see what I was seeing, but now you get it.
Right. Yeah.
It's supposed to be this walk through time where you learn something about why we're
right.
here,
yeah.
and now you
and what
and
why
leave.
We're here, and who contribute to us to being here.
Yeah,
know? I think that's kind of the lesson that you're also teaching here, and it's great. So Tara, thanks for the time. It's really interesting to learn about your journey and your store, and I think you're going to be a big success. So we'll do all we can to help you get the word out.
Thank you, Roger. I enjoyed being here.
For listening to the Boulder City Podcast, brought to you by Railroad Pass Casino, Boulder City's hometown casino. For more information on Railroad Pass, visit railroadpass.com. And come visit Boulder City for the time of your life. And don't miss our partners at Boulder City Social, the town's most informative website. So we'll see you next time on the Boulder City Podcast.